6:15 before the hour. You're listening to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Joe Telestis. You never know in South Dakota who your neighbor is going to be. And for the people of Spearfish, one of their neighbors today is a gentleman with quite a history, World War II British RAF pilot John Wilkinson. John will speak to the Black Hills Veterans Writings Group this Saturday about his experiences as an RAF fighter pilot in World War II. Wilkinson flew the historic Spitfire and Hurricane fighters. The Black Hills Veterans Writing Group meets at 9:30 a.m. with social period beginning at 9 at EAFB's South Dakota Air and Space Museum. Again, Wilkinson, who now lives in Spearfish, he's an American citizen and has some amazing stories to tell. John Wilkinson, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Thank you.
We talked a little bit yesterday, and can't wait to have this conversation. Take us back to your early days in England. Where did you grow up, and what was your earliest recollection of seeing an airplane, and when did you first consider being a pilot of an airplane?
My first experience was before the war, when my mother paid for a little flight, and then during the war, I watched the Battle of Britain from the ground, and then went through the bombing. I was 17 at the time. After I became 18, I volunteered for the Royal Air Force. I went through all of the ground training, and I was sent to Florida for my flight training, and then operational training back in England. All of my combat was in Spitfires, 95% in the Spit 14, which was a very powerful aircraft, 2,050 horse and a big five-bladed propeller.
Mm-hmm. Take us back. You mentioned when you were 17, you lived through the Battle of Britain. Can you talk a little bit about that experience?
Well, I could see them. Since we lived in London, I could see all these contrails, and we could see them fighting up there, some falling out of the sky, of course, as they got shot down. And then after that came the bombing.
When I can imagine when you see planes fighting up above and falling from the sky, there's two ways you could go. There could be one way that says, I really don't want to do that because I want to fall from the sky. And the other one is, I really want to do that and I'm going to volunteer. You chose the latter. Why?
Well, it was something I really wanted to do, and I could contribute to our war effort that way.
You mentioned coming to North America for your pilot's training in Canada and Florida. Was that common for British pilots to come to North America to train?
Yes. We were sent to either Canada, the U.S., or South Africa, because the airfields in England were needed for operational purposes. And anyway, there was the hazard of getting shot down when you were training there. So we were sent to all these different places. And I was very fortunate to go to Florida.
How so?
I beg your pardon?
How so were you fortunate to go to Florida?
Oh, well.
The weather?
I think, yes, the weather. But I think it was probably the best location. And even though we were stationed down on the edge of the Everglades, which led to some interesting experiences there.
You mentioned the Spitfire aircraft, which you flew in, and you mentioned specifically the Spit 14. When did the Spitfire come into action in World War II, and was it the superior aircraft? What was it that made it special and apparently very successful?
Well, to begin with, it was perhaps the most perfect flying machine that conceivably could have been built. And every pilot should at least have the experience of flying one. It was such a fine machine that the early ones, the Spits 1 and 2, I would venture to say, a little bit overmatched by the ME-109. I think the Spitfire was the only fighter that was continued to be developed and active throughout the whole war.
Hmm. We were talking yesterday, and we talked about dogfighting, and you were never beaten. What were some of your memorable experiences in dogfights with German aircraft? And really, the stories you told me yesterday were quite amazing.
Well, on this one occasion, for instance, we had devised a problem, to fly at a high altitude, perhaps 30,000 or so, from Celle, where we were based already in Germany, and fly out over the Baltic, turn around and come back, and let down to catch the Germans coming up for night operations. So it was dusk, and we spotted this group of about 30 aircraft down below from high altitude. You can't always be sure what they are. There were just four of us. As we headed down, we saw explosions, and the two of us decided they were typhoons attacking the airfield, so they went on home. But Tony and I went on down, and sure enough, they were FW-190s. I picked one at the top of the group, and I was very close because I had to lose my speed. So I was within 100 yards and when I started firing. I could see that round thing underneath, which could have been, normally would have been, a belly tank. But it turned out to be a bomb, and it exploded. When I saw it, I ducked, of course, behind my bulletproof windshield in the engine, and I could see flaming fuel and wreckage washing over my wings.
Hmm. You must have been very close.
Oh, yes, I was very close. And anyway, his wreckage brought down another one, but then I found I'd lost a little bit of my propeller, and my tail was damaged. But I did manage to make it back to base. And there I found that there were holes just all over the place. We have those two big radiators, one under each wing. And there were holes in the cowling holding the radiators, but nothing went into those cowlings. And I don't say this lightly, But it could only have been the hand of the Lord that prevented that. Otherwise, I could not have flown for more than 2 or 3 or more minutes.
Yesterday when we were talking, you mentioned your method of flying, and it was very, very interesting. How would you describe your method of flying, and how did you develop it at the age of 18, and what did it mean to you when you were in the air?
Well, in my training, when we were back in, it was in Scotland, actually, we had Spitfires and Hurricanes. And we would go up, one in a spit and one in a hurry, and fight, and then come down and switch planes and fight again. Well, it didn't matter what I was in, I always won. And it was there that I developed my method of fighting, which was, to put it simply, just give it all you can, press the aircraft and yourself to the absolute maximum. That's the only way to fight if you're going to live.
And it served you well? Did you ever come close to losing?
No, not to losing, no, certainly not. I've come close to being shot down by anti-aircraft fire. But we did a lot of attacking ground targets.
Mm-hmm.
I got a Stafgar one time. They saw me coming, and I destroyed their car. They ran into a field. And because they were high-ranking officers, then I had to go back and really take care of them.
Well, John Wilkinson, we're out of time, but we thank you for your time, and I know the people in Rapid City will look forward to your stories. I know there's also wing footage on YouTube that people can look up and actually see when you were firing and the German aircraft as they went down. Thanks for joining us, and best of luck to you with your group this Saturday.
Well, thank you very much.
That's John Wilkinson, World War II British RAF pilot. He'll speak at the Black Hills Veteran Writing Group this Saturday about his experiences as an RAF fighter pilot in World War II. He flew the historic Spitfire and Hurricane fighters. The Black Hills Veterans Group meets at 9:30 Saturday, social period at 9 o'clock, and that's at Ellsworth Air Force Base's South Dakota Air and Space Museum. That's all the time we have on today's Dakota Midday. Thanks for joining us. Coming up after the news, it's Here and Now. And I believe Kara Hetland in tomorrow is a guest host here on Dakota Midday.